My name is David Fiala, and I am a DCE. I am also a missionary with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Or I should say I was a missionary with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod up until July 31st of 2014. On August 1st, I started working here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri, as the Assistant Director of Missionary Recruitment, working side along with Dan McMiller and Aaron Alter in the Recruitment Department. The first time there's been a Recruitment Department in years, it's good to be here. When I was serving as a missionary, I was living with my wife and our two children in Central Europe, in the country of Slovakia. Initially, during our nine-year term of service in Central Europe, we were in Slovakia in one city, in one school, working with the same high school students day in, day out. It was really wonderful ministry, connecting on a very personal level with kids. And after 3 years of doing this, I was invited to receive a call as a project coordinator for four countries in Central Europe, including Slovakia, but adding to it the Czech Republic, Poland, and Hungary. And it was my task to find locations similar to the one where I had been serving for new missionaries to come into the field and prep those locations for them, build the relationships with the national hosts to make it possible for new missionaries to come in, and then to supervise those missionaries when they were there with everything from logistics to how to talk about different topics or different subjects with their students. And if that wasn't enough, they asked me to start hosting short-term mission teams that would come predominantly during the summer months to do English language Bible camps. So evangelism through the use of English as a second language with Central European children. Predominantly, they were, goodness, six-year-olds all the way through, I would say, 20-year-olds. Who were participating in different events in these four countries that were being led by LCMS short-term mission teams. I was born and raised not too far from Chicago, Illinois, and I got used to the cornfield view for most of my life. And then when I went out to Concordia Seward, I just enhanced that cornfield view. And I know this really isn't much about culture, but there is definitely something in the way an individual who was born and raised in Nebraska speaks. They are understandable. They speak very clearly. They articulate very well. And that actually turned out to be something greatly in my favor as I went overseas teaching English and helping children to hear English and then learn how to reproduce the English. It's really good if articulation skills are present. And that was something that I learned when I was living in Nebraska. I didn't pick it up at all in Chicago, because in Chicago you talk really fast, slur your words together, and that's how it works there. But in Nebraska, a whole different reality. Landing in Central Europe, listening to a language that, goodness, I had never heard before in my life. The Slovak language is a bizarre thing to hear if you have no idea what you're listening for. It sounds like just one big long run-on of sounds. You cannot pick up where one word ends and the next word begins. Speaking slowly, speaking clearly, speaking audibly and intelligibly was really an asset for me when I was teaching. And then as I was learning the Slovak language, which, goodness, there's this great line about the Slovak language. It is, if you didn't know this already, a heavenly language. And it's a heavenly language because it takes an eternity to learn. It's really, and this is no joke, there was some kind of a conference of linguists that gathered in Paris some years ago, and there were over 7,000, I think, linguists who gathered, and they were trying to determine what languages on the planet were the most difficult. And guess what landed top of the pile? The Slovak language. So it's just one of these doozy of a languages that's really hard to get into. And if you think of a language and you think of a culture and you think that they are related, you are correct. Because there are certain patterns that follow in a language that then manifest themselves in a culture. And what's really frightening for me is whenever we would come back to America, after having lived in Slovakia for any number of years and returning to America for home service or furlough, and everybody coming up to you and shaking your hand and smiling at you and introducing themselves by their first name. Yeah, dead silence. this was my response. Like, wait a minute, you're just telling me what your first name is. Why are you doing this? And here I was in America wondering what in the world was going on, and I should really be familiar with what's going on in America because I was born and raised here. But time in Central Europe teaches you that there's this distance between people, and it's, I believe, highly connected to the language, because the Slovak language, amongst other things, is a language where you have formal versus informal. And it changes the vocabulary you use when you speak, and it changes the way you decline your nouns and how you address the people you are speaking to. And if you're formal with a specific person or informal with a different person, obviously you have to speak very differently when you're communicating with these individuals. And everybody in America seems to be on an informal first name basis with everyone. And that just doesn't work in Central Europe. You address people by their family name, Mr. or Mrs. or Mrs. Director if you're talking to the principal of a school, or Mr. Doctor if you're talking to a director of a school who happens to have a doctorate. And it's all about titles. It's all about your position and your station in the culture, in the community, in the city, in the workplace. And it's a guarded culture in this respect that we don't jive with that here in North America. It doesn't feel at home to us. So getting used to that reality in Central Europe was a lot of fun. And yeah, I did do some silly things and say some silly things to people. And goodness, this is a great story, if you don't mind me digressing a little bit here. In the Slovak language, we have these things that are diminutives. Like my children, their names, my son, he was born in Slovakia. We gave him a good Czech name because my name is David Fiala, and it's a good Czech name, and my family immigrated from the Czech Republic to the Chicago area, time of the Civil War. Well, the very first Fiala that we've been able to track that came across the ocean, his name was Václav Fiala. Good Czech name, Václav Havel, the president of the Czech Republic. I mean, this was Václav Klaus. I mean, just all these great Czech names. So we name our son Václav. My wife and I have never called him by that name ever, nor will we, because that's his name on paper. We call him Vašek. But when he was little, he was Vašiček, an even smaller version of Vašek. So the language is full of diminutives. The same thing with my daughter. Her name is Emma. But she's never just Emma. She's Emka or Emichka or Emmy or anything, but just not plain old Emma. And of course, they did this to me when I was there. I was not David. I was Davidko. I was the cute little form of David as soon as I was on a familiar basis with someone. So we have these familiarities. We have these diminutives. And here's David Fiala, 6'4", about 200 pounds. I'm not a little guy. Going into a restaurant, using my Slovak, talking to the waitress, saying, "I would like a cute little bowl of soup, please." Of course, I would say this in Slovak, and it was just the way that we spoke at home. My wife is a Slovak, so she spoke to our children in the Slovak language. And when you want a little bowl of soup, you say polievočku, which is the cute little bowl of soup version. Polievka is like the normal soup for the normal full-grown adults. But here I was in the restaurant, much to my wife's just embarrassment. Prosím ťa, ja chcem polievočku. I want a cute little bowl of soup. And she slaps herself on the forehead and says, "You are not allowed to speak to the waitresses anymore. You don't know how to order food for a big person." So you encounter these things when you live in a foreign country and you experiment with the language, and people laugh at you. And I found that it's a lot easier if people are laughing at me if I'm also laughing at myself. So I did a lot of this while I was there. But the cultures even shift when you go from Slovakia to the Czech Republic. Yes, many of us in North America have heard of the country Czechoslovakia. It was what I learned about when I was a kid and took my geography classes. Well, in 1993, January 1st, the Czech Republic and the Slovak Republic split into two separate countries. And there's a big long story about that. It's called the Velvet Divorce by some. Not a bullet was fired, papers were signed. The next morning, two separate countries existed. Two countries that had been one country, and if you look at their past, there's all sorts of interesting overlays. The Czech language and the Slovak language, for instance, are maybe 80 to 85% totally intelligible to a speaker of the other language. The rest of the 15% is maybe some unique vocabulary or some minor changes in grammar from one to the other. But if you've learned to speak one language, you can speak to somebody from the other language using the language you know how to speak, and they can understand you and you can understand them, and it's all happy day between the Czechs and the Slovaks. They like each other. But if you look at the demographics of each country, the Slovak country, the nation, considers itself to be a Christian nation. And if you look at census data, you find out that sure enough, 80-some percent, if not more, of the population of Slovakia considers themselves to be Christians, predominantly Roman Catholic. If you look at the Czech Republic, it's a very different story. Depending on the year, depending on the census, you will get anywhere between 50 and 70% self-proclaimed atheists or agnostics in the Czech Republic. And what this does, it adds a whole new layer to the culture. Because when you're working with somebody in Slovakia, they have a worldview that includes Christianity. And when you're in the Czech Republic and you're talking to someone, their worldview does not necessarily include that layer. So when you're having a conversation, sometimes you've got to really back up and back up and back up and get to what is absolutely critical and essential about the gospel. In Slovakia, yeah, you say gospel, they think they know what you mean. In the Czech Republic, gospel, what's that? Jesus, who's that? Why would he have an interest in me? And so and there's all these layers. And then, of course, the countries also where I was serving was Poland. And again, looking at the statistic for Poland, you find upper 90th percentile of Poles classify themselves as Catholics. But what does that mean? Do they actually go to Mass? Do they participate in any kind of churchy, parishy functions? Well, many of the Lutheran pastors in Poland that I worked with confirm my suspicion that no. A lot of this is Catholicism on paper. And this is why we were in this region of the world doing evangelism. Yeah, on the census, I'm a Christian. I'm culturally a Christian. Why? Well, my grandmother was a Catholic, so I'm a Catholic. My mother's a Catholic, so I'm a Catholic. I was baptized. I'll get married in the Catholic Church, and I hope to have a Catholic funeral when I die. Well, this is why being a missionary in Central Europe is so important, because there's a lot more to being a Christian than being married in a church and being buried in the Christian cemetery. There's this Christian life, this life of sanctification. There is this joy of knowing that Jesus is not only your creator, but he is your savior. And he is an everyday, every moment of every day part of your reality. And this is what's missing. There's a huge disconnect. Even with many people I met who were Christians, and they were more than just the three times in their life participating in Christianity, there was a huge disconnect between what I believe in my faith and what I do when I'm out walking around or when I go to my job. And there's a reason for this. If you back up and you look at the history of what happened in Central Europe following World War II, 40 years of a communist regime. It taught the people how to compartmentalize their lives. You don't mix your faith or your confession with your business life or your presence on the public transportation. You live in little segments. So when you're coming in as a missionary and all of these things are going on all around you that you are unaware of, it takes a while. There's a learning curve, and you've got to listen. And you've got to participate in activities and events when you're invited to do so. And you have to grow. You have to think beyond your North American worldview if you really want to understand the culture in which you're serving. And it was a joy for me during those years to learn a lot about this. Jesus said, "Go into all the earth, proclaim the gospel. Teach the people, baptize the people." I'm paraphrasing, I know. I didn't want to quote Matthew 28:19-20 perfectly for you. You know the passage. You know the Great Commission. Jesus says to the church, make disciples. Teach people about who I am. Give them a reason to have hope, not just in this life, but hope for eternity. Jesus sent us to do this. And it's not just a nice thought to put on a bookmark to shove in your Bible and go, yeah, that's for somebody else. No, Jesus calls all of us baptized members of his church into mission. And there's a need around the world. You know, I mentioned before the Czech Republic has got this high numbers of atheism, high percentages. Well, there's about 10 million people living in the Czech Republic. And if you figure 60% of that, yeah, do the math. That's a lot of people who are living, not knowing the gospel, not knowing their Lord and Savior, their Creator, Jesus. And that breaks my heart. And the Czech Republic, in the whole scheme of things, is a really small country when you look at the whole planet. I haven't checked recent census data, but there's got to be more than 6 billion people on Earth. I'm pretty sure that most of them are a lot like the Czechs. They do not know who Jesus is. This is why we are sending missionaries around the world. This is why. How can you find out more? Call me. Write me an email. Find me on lcms.org. My name is David Fiala. That's F as in Frank, I-A-L-A. If you go david.fiala at lcms.org, you can write me an email. I want to talk to you. If you have a burning desire in your heart to go somewhere outside of your North American comfort zone, interact with new people in a new culture, proclaim the gospel, to encourage other Christians who are in these foreign countries proclaiming the gospel, I want to hear from you. I would like to invite you to apply to be a missionary with the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.